Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, true, in Europe? Like, what?
Soccer? Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right?
Yeah, no, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of shit was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain
Flo. So you're not excited, Jack? You're not excited about having Sarah Spain?
Yeah,
on
wow.
Show,
which maybe no, I'm the talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, hey man, like, do you take out of these situations, like, what is it like to know that, like, you're this beloved, that, like, these videos are going viral? And he was just like, I don't do it for that attention. And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again.
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle, and eventually this video is going to go away. There it is. Hey, hi, everybody. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. Just need a minute here. He's gone. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. He's gone. So just wonderfully posted by this man, Logan Bradley. If you want to find Logan on Twitter, it's LBrad5. The bad man is gone. Logan, how do you feel about
that? He's gone. It's nice. It sucks that this is the peak of our existence, is just seeing a man get fired from his job. But boy, oh boy, if there was ever a human being who didn't deserve to be in his position or role in any sector, organization, it is that Eberflus dork. And I'm so glad I don't have to say his last name anymore, because it's just the worst to say. I don't know.
I'll say this, Logan, it was good way to check me just really quick, because everything I've heard about him as a human being is wonderful guy. Really personable, nice, good character, human being. And so in that regard, I feel bad for it. But this is a results-based business, and so good riddance.
I just start to not feel as bad for people when it's someone who refuses to, like, admit their mistakes and take accountability. That's when I'm like, I don't feel bad. So, sure, great guy. Get the F out of here.
Yeah, please do. Let's bring the assistant editor of Bears Wire. It's Brendan Chagrou. Now, if you want to find Brendan on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagrou. That's Sugrue. Now, Brendan, I'm celebrating. You were kind of making a face. You know, again, I do apologize to the human being, but are you not happy about this?
No, I'm happy. I was confused. I was very confused as to what you were gesturing, what you were doing. I thought you might be having a seizure of some sort, so I was about to call somebody to come check on you. But thankfully, you were just celebrating the fact that the Bears fired their coach. So, it's good. It's more relief than anything. I don't know if I was happy. I was just shocked that it actually happened, because everybody in the world, and I mean the world, saw that this needed to happen, especially after the Thanksgiving game in front of a national audience. But once the news conference happened on Friday, and I know we'll get into everything, I think everybody just was like, wow, this really isn't going to happen. Like, this is, the Bears are just going to keep it as business as usual. And there I am in the middle of some leftover apple pie for lunch, because it's pie season and you can eat whatever the hell you want during the holidays. And I get the notification that he was fired. And I basically did the Michael Scott or the family, you know, the GIF where the family's eating dinner, like, okay, it's time to go, let's go. And they're just like shoveling food down. That's exactly what happened to me, where I'm like, yeah, just going into the office to start writing. It was like pandemonium on Friday. But yes, I'd say more relief than happiness, but it definitely needed to happen.
We got to get to Cam, because Cam is on borrowed time, and I'm so excited to talk to Cam. I'll just say this again. They let him do a press conference, and then they fired him. That is only the Chicago Bears could do that. And so let's bring to the stage, it's Cam, Cam Ellis. If you want to find Cam on Twitter, it's at Kingsley Ellis. Cam, before we talk about the bad man leaving the place, did you have a nice Thanksgiving? Is Thanksgiving still nice out in the Colorado area?
Howdy, fellas. Thanksgiving was great. I spent the Wednesday and the Friday out skiing with my wife, so that was great. Great. We got a couple feet of snow early on, so people are doing backflips here. So great conditions for November, so that was good. And then Thursday was I worked a little bit, and then my wife and I had an extremely quiet dinner by ourselves with our dog, and there were no extended relatives or long days, and we just sat on the couch and had a very chill, quiet evening. So I loved it. It was great. Like people always like, oh, that's kind of sad. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like I was having a good time.
That sounds wonderful. Like,
yeah, no, really wonderful. Wonderful.
I love my kids. Like I love my kids, but like that right there just sounds really nice.
There's something a little weirdly like infantiling about being skiing while everyone else is like with their family and like with their kids or their grandparents. And I was like, yeah, like I'm skiing, I guess. Like I'm a real adult too, everyone. but no, it was great. I was good. It was a good week.
Cam, Logan, don't let me forget, because I want to ask you about yours, because I know it was a big thing in Joshua Tree. I'm very excited to talk about it, but we have Cam for limited time. So Cam, the first thing that I want to hear is, because again, you know, you covered the Bears for a while, but you're a bit removed from it, and you're more national media now than you are local media. So I'm generally very curious to hear, like, Brendan will give us kind of like breakdown of like what took place, but just your overall thoughts on like the Eberflus firing, Thomas Brown coming in, just like how this is being perceived in the national media. What are you kind of taking on this?
I'm legitimately very surprised. And I know that's not really reinventing the wheel, but like I don't think anyone can sleep on the fact that the Bears never do this, like literally never do this. This is the first time in history they have ever done this. And I think that carries more weight than people are necessarily giving it. Like the way that Matt Eberflus went from a forgettable coach in the history books of the Chicago Bears to like legitimately one of the worst ever in a span of 6 weeks was remarkable. Like I have never seen someone go lose their job that, maybe not quickly, but that thoroughly and that consistently. And it was just the same thing for six straight weeks. And it got so bad that the Bears had to take historical means to get rid of him. And like, I think that people are going to move on to candidates and, you know, how good Thomas Brown is and what changes. And like, I think it is going to get slept on just how I think Matt Eberflus is going to age so poorly with the Bears. And I don't think people are quite realizing how poorly they're going to age yet.
Brendan, I know you wanted to talk about Bo Nix. Is there anything else that we want to ask Cam in particular about this particular situation? I do think that there's a conversation to be had. Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams. And the fact that it's possible that we have three really good quarterbacks from the same draft class, which, you know, that doesn't really happen very often, you know?
Great, so I don't know. Pretty good too.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Mm-hmm. So we Cam, just in your thoughts, is Bo Nix mania warranted and a real thing?
It is. It has gotten out of control out here. I mean, like, it is warranted, and I don't blame any NFL fan base for like going a little bit crazy when the quarterback plays well. Like that's sort of your right, and it's so rare to feel. I mean, like I'm not preaching the choir here. How rare it feels to like really feel like you have the guy and like there's hope again. So I don't blame anyone for kind of getting out over their skis when there is hope again. But yeah, no, I mean, he's playing really well. Like it is, he's playing within Sean Payton's structure in a way that everyone was like, the best case scenario for him is he just understands Sean Payton's offense in a way that quarterbacks absolutely need to. And there are plenty of good quarterbacks that don't really get the Sean Payton offense that are still good, but not quite like reaching their ceiling because they're not doing the things that this offense asks for. And it seems like he is not one of those guys. Like, it seems like it really fits him for whatever the reasons are. And like, he's already playing at what I think a lot of people thought his ceiling was going to look like. Like, he was sort of considered like, oh, you know, like, if he has a good 7, 8, 9, 10-year career, like, that's going to be awesome. Like, and if he plays like this, that's going to be a great career for Bo Nix. And he's already looking like someone that has like another level to him that I don't think anyone in the scouting process necessarily thought. So I think it's real. You know, I go back to Mac Jones's first year when everyone was like, Mac Jones is it. So, like, the Pats got another one, guys, and he immediately cratered. And I know that, like, it's sort of the opposite of Josh Allen, where like, you can't take one guy and be like, oh, this is how the trajectory is going to go for everyone. And he's kind of like the inverted Josh Allen in that way. But yeah, like, I am swallowing a whole bunch of crow on Bo Nix, because I was not into the idea at all. And like, he has just blown my expectations totally out of the water.
All right. I got a quick question for Cam here, and it's basically impossible to answer, but give me your moving forward long term of this rookie quarterback class, who would you take at this point?
That's a great question.
I really like what Drake May's doing. Like, Drake May looks legit. I think Drake May, like, I just see Justin Herbert so clearly. Like, and I know it's kind of a tried and true, like, it's kind of an overplayed comparison, but like, I the comparison is just so ingrained whenever I watch. I just see Justin Herbert there. And like, I've always been kind of overly bullish on Justin Herbert. Even when like the stats don't necessarily say that he's actually that good, I'm like, no, like my Chargers Super Bowl bets lose every year because I'm just like, Justin Herbert's gonna do it this year, guys. Like, it's fine. And I just see so much of that in Drake May. You know, I'm gonna hedge here and say that like literally all four of them, I don't think there's gonna be a bad one. Like, I think this is the next proverbial, like, you know, historically great QB class. And I think some obviously gonna be better than others, but I don't think they're gonna flame out the way that typically a class has, you know, 95% of the guys are not that good and there's one or two kind of good guys. Like, I think it's okay to occasionally say this is the exception to the rule, and I feel comfortable kind of saying that about this draft. But I think it's Drake May, and I think right under that, I think the more convincing argument for me, and they're not convincing, the more interesting argument is like, is two Jaden Daniels or is two Caleb Williams? Like, that is more, I think, for me at least, that's where I would sort of get stuck in the weeds versus, like, I think Drake May is going to be the best guy, not necessarily has played like the best guy, if that makes sense.
That's fascinating. I want to come back to the Bears here, Cam, just a little bit. And so, you know, you cover the Bears, you've been in the household, Hallis Hall, you've talked to a lot of these people as part of the Bears organization. Do you have any faith that they will pair the correct coach with Caleb Williams moving forward?
Yeah, I actually do. I think, you know, I sort of smirk when everyone's going, oh, same old Bears. Like, this is not the same old Bears. This is quite literally the opposite of the same old Bears. And like, yeah, maybe George McCaskey comes in and goes, oh, I want Mike Vrabel because he has a low tone of voice and like has a big chest and is a manly man. And like, that's going to be awesome. And it's very possible. But like, I think you can't look at the Bears quite literally firing not only a head coach but an offensive coordinator for the first time in the middle of a season ever and say this is the same old Bears. I get why fans would do that, because for 25 years it has been the same old Bears, and like, you're not going to get over that in 2 weeks. But I think you look at what's happened in the last week and you go, this can't be the same old Bears because this hasn't been the same old Bears. And I feel okay with giving them the benefit of the doubt. Like, I think Kevin Warren knows what he's doing. I don't know if he can scout quarterbacks and is watching film, but Kevin Warren seems like a guy that has it put together in a way that maybe Bears showrunners haven't in years past. I think you could look at the stadium and situation and kind of argue that, but I trust Kevin Warren still. I don't think there's anything been like an egregious mistake yet where they go, oh, he doesn't have it in him. Like, I, it might be not as quickly as I think people when they hired Kevin Warren going, oh, they're going to change it immediately. Like, culture is going to be different next year. Just watch. Like, it may take a little longer to drag this franchise into modern times than I necessarily thought. But I don't see why being pessimistic right now makes any sense based on the last 10 days.
Last question, because Cam, I know you got to get going, and you got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff to write here. Thomas Brown, is anything you're hearing being said, whether it be, you know, coaches talking about it, closed door, national media, anybody saying anything about Thomas Brown to give Bears hope? Or is it, hey, just pump the brakes and let's move on to next season?
I mean, the only thing I'm hearing are Bears fans giving themselves plenty of hope about that. So, no, like I see a lot of the Antonio Pierce thing from last year in this, where they're like, oh, we're not going to necessarily, like, we're probably going to have eyes for bigger targets than Antonio Pierce, but we're going to give Antonio Pierce the chance to win the job. And he did. He went out and won the job. And, like, I get that it maybe didn't go so well the second year, and maybe they're kind of regretting giving Antonio Pierce the job now. But to me, that sort of dynamic is the same thing where they go, hey, man, like, we're going to interview other guys. Like, that's just, we're the Chicago Bears. We can't just hire the 5-week offensive coordinator for the next job. But like, if you kick ass for the next 5 weeks, like, we're going to give you a real interview. And I do believe they're there. I don't think he's just, you know, the steward of the team for the next 5 weeks until, you know, a Big 12 team can come calling for him. Like, I think he'll get a real shot. I think the Bears, you know, this is going to, I'm sorry for making you guys gag here, but like, the Bears brand is too large in this moment for them to just like go in and get and keep the offensive coordinator. Like, they're going to go. I think the Harbaugh thing is kind of stings a little bit. Like, I bet they probably wish they gave Harbaugh a little more of a shot than they did. So I think they're going to go out and just like let Ian Rappaport report all the big names, because I think they're the crown jewel of job openings this offseason. And I don't think the crown jewel of job openings just internally promotes without looking elsewhere.
Cam?
Yeah. Sorry,
Brendan, please.
I'm just going to say 100%, like, you haven't seen this happen with the Saints or the Jets. And today, all of these insiders are coming out saying, yeah, this guy could have interest. This guy could have interest. And some of that is definitely agent talk. Like, hey, get your name out there and kind of gauge some interest. I do have one. I hate my internet. I hate it.
So do we.
At least you froze nicely.
Yeah. We can hear you. Get it in quickly.
That's what she said.
Oh, no.
Okay. So he's gone now?
This is good podcasting.
This is content creation, fellas.
Hell yeah. That's why we do it.
I think maybe Brendan, should we wait for Brendan to come back? Because Brendan's always, he's got great questions.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Oh, no, he's gone.
And that's the kiss of death.
He's not too mad at my opinion. He's like, I don't care. I don't want to be here. Yeah, like, I'll get this guy off my podcast right now.
Yeah. So yeah, my dial up. Yeah. So I'm literally in a shed. And so usually it's like, you can hear me. Sometimes you just can't see me. Wait, Brendan is back. Let's get Brendan in, cause I want to hear his question now. It's waiting there for me. Brendan, what's the question?
This might be my last show. I swear. I don't know if I can handle this anymore. Last question, quick, Cam. You were at the end of the Matt Nagy era, and you heard and saw players kind of their, you know, what their mentality was at the end of that regime. This was really bad with Matt Eberflus. Yeah. There were guys just openly questioning what he was doing. My question to you is, did it ever get that bad in your opinion? Because, like, did Nagy ever truly lose the locker room like Matt Eberflus lost his?
No, gosh, no. I mean, I think maybe like the last month they were as out, like, only because it was so obvious that he wasn't coming back. But like, I don't remember 6 weeks of guys going on ESPN 1000 or whatever and being like, yeah, I don't really know what that coach's decision was. And it was kind of, I felt like it kind of went under the radar how many guys just openly, you know, talk trash about the coach on the record for like the last 2 months. Like, I don't remember that ever happening with Nagy. I think I think Nagy was like way more of like a cool dude to hang out with and like in the locker room, if that makes sense. Like he was always very approachable and players always liked him. Like, I didn't get the sense that guys wanted to, you know, have the proverbial beer with Matt Eberflus the way they did with Matt Nagy. Like, and I think that's fine. You don't like, you said, like, I don't really want to have a beer with my boss like that. That I don't, that's okay. But once you're not good at coaching, then you're not like fun to be around or a good coach. Like then that's when you go talk to Cap about the decision making or whatever it is. I think once you lost, even if you didn't really respect his coaching acumen, once you kind of lost the brotherhood locker room acumen, that's when you're just like, why is this guy here anymore? Like, what does he add to this scenario? But like, I don't know. You guys tell me. I don't remember guys talking crap about him for 6 weeks before he got fired.
No. The only one that came to mind was Allen Robinson coming out saying like, oh, he's lost the guys. But Allen Robinson was kind of a schlub his last year.
Yeah, who didn't Allen Robinson talk shit about? Like,
true story.
Cam, I miss your face. And it's nice having you on. And I know you're a very, very busy man. And Sunday nights are usually tough. But hey, when the offseason hits, we're going to have more Cam, correct?
Correct. I will be there.
Awesome. Hey, man, enjoy some skiing and some like sleep filled, like all the way through the night nights for me.
Guys, I'm overly rested. I the other day, I told her, I was like, I think I sleep too much. And she was like, you should probably not think about that. And I was like, yeah.
I hate you. Great to see you, Cam. Take care of yourself, right, buddy?
You guys.
I miss Cam. Any thoughts about that? Because we got some people we got to thank.
I just was glad to hear that he was not a Bo Nix believer. I really wanted to just rub it in everyone's face that I thought he would be successful, especially if he went to a team like the Vikings or the Broncos. And I had a lot of bad takes during my time covering the Bears, and it's nice to have one that's completely not about the team and about somebody else, but it actually come true. So interesting to hear, though.
I was thinking, I've had a lot of bad takes. We've all had bad takes, right? Do you have more good takes than you have bad takes? But if you go, like, I was on the Roar of the Lions, and I was like, it might be a close game, much closer than you think. And if I don't remember how I phrased it, but it basically was like, if the Bears, or it's a close game, just know that the Bears will lose in an insanely frustrating fashion. Then I also said that I think that they will fire Matt Eberflus because they have Thomas Brown. Hey, I got some things right. Doesn't happen very often. Let's thank some wonderful people because we got to do it so that we can keep the lights on.
Attention, Chicagoland investors and business owners. If you are looking for a commercial real estate expert, please look no further than our guy, Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. With generations of experience, Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. So for all your commercial real estate needs, please trust our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Give him a call at 630-254-4734, or you can visit jeffcre.com today. Go and do it. Go and do it. What are you waiting for?
Guys, Sheridan's Barbershop, a cornerstone of the Wheaton community since 1954, is where old school charm meets modern style. Located in the heart of historic downtown Wheaton, they have 6 master barbers ready to keep you looking sharp, especially for the holidays. Sheridan's is open Monday through Saturday, so it is easy to get a fresh cut in your schedule with appointments available online or by phone. So head to sheridansbarbershop.com or call 630-668-0137 and book your appointment today. And also, if you're a little bit further west, head over to downtown Naperville, where Hensel's Barbershop, a local favorite since 1966, offers the same unbeatable service with a crew of 6 skilled barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, and they have you covered with walk-ins and appointments alike. Whether you need a quick cleanup or a full transformation, Hensel's has you covered. Sheridan's and Hensel's Barbershops, where traditional meets modern.
If you talk to Jeff Cadwallader or you go to Hensel's or Sheridan's, please let them know that the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello. All right, Brendan, you're so good at this. Instead of a Brendan's breakdown, can we have a Brendan's recap of the events that took place, including just the insanely asinine press conference of, hey, here's how I'm going to handle the rest of the season. Just kidding. I got fired and I didn't know it. Like, can you walk us through, like, maybe from the time Caleb gets sacked and Flus doesn't call a timeout because he's a dumbass or something, I don't know, blames Caleb for it, then gets fired. Can you walk us through that whole thing, please?
Sure thing. And I'm going to do this by memory. I have no notes. So let's see if I get everything. Okay. So the Bears lose on that last second desperation throw because after Caleb is sacked, the clock starts running. Caleb is trying to hear the play call come in from Thomas Brown. He doesn't hear it, or at least it's a QB draw or something. So he has to audible, goes to the deep shot. Time runs out. Of course, we know Eberflus doesn't call the timeout. The entire world is roasting the Bears during this time. I don't think I've seen it. I don't think I've seen as many national pundits and just people watching the game talk about the Bears like I've seen during that Thanksgiving game. It was unbelievable. Just I'm sure you've heard all the snippets from all the pregame shows and everything like that. It was crazy. It was everywhere. So that happens. Matt Eberflus talks to his team in the locker room and essentially gives a message saying, hey guys, well, these are tough times, but we got to stay together. All that BS crap that he's been doing the entire time. And finally, according to multiple reports, Jalen Johnson was the one specifically who had enough. And he basically cussed out Flus for 10 to 15 minutes. It came out today. He was talking a bunch of trash. He basically chased Flus out of the locker room. Yes. You can call time out. Yes.
You caught 15 yes. 15 minutes. Did you say 15 minutes?
That's what Jay Glazer said. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, that is excessive.
You have to have pure unadulterated hatred in your heart just for a human being to be able to go on for 15 minutes.
Brendan, I'm sorry. You're doing a freaking phenomenal job as always. That just blows my mind. Like, I knew that he yelled at him, but I thought it was like a one-off, like, you don't know what you're doing. But yeah. 15 minutes. You've been holding on to that for a long freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Brendan, please keep this train rolling, doing a phenomenal job.
Oh, it's crazy. And what's even crazier is not everybody was even in the locker room to hear this message. DJ Moore reportedly was getting treatment done because he took some hard hits. He wasn't even there. So the head coach is addressing his team when one of the team captains isn't even there. So that tells you another thing about Eberflus's attention to detail and how much he cares about his players. So then after that, you start to hear some reports coming out from players with the media inside the locker room. Keenan Allen was like, yeah, like we did enough as players to win this game. That's debatable, but still a message received. Kyler Gordon didn't want to get into what was talked about, what the message was in the locker room. So that was, and that came out before this whole thing about Jalen Johnson came out. So you knew something had happened, and the guys just clearly, they didn't know what was going on. It was just, they were sick of it essentially. So all of that is happening and the world is waiting with bated breath on Friday morning to see if Matt Eberflus actually will get fired. In the locker room, Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles were in there longer than usual talking to the players. Another indication that something may be up potentially. So everybody's waiting to see if Matt Eberflus is going to do his 9 a.m. Zoom press conference. It was scheduled, but there was no link that was sent out to the Bears beat reporters. So that was an indication like, hey, is something actually going to happen? Could they be delaying it? The link comes out like 5 minutes after the time runs out. Go figure. That's just, you know, what the Bears do apparently. And Matt Eberflus talks for 9 minutes. 9 minutes of him sounding very defeated. I don't know if you guys listened to the press conference when it was going on or after. Go back and listen to it, because he sounded like somebody who had a really rough night or like didn't get any sleep. It was very interesting. And he talked about how he was confident that he was going to be coaching San Francisco the very next week. And then 2 hours later, the Bears actually fired him. And the whole reason that they still kept the Zoom press conference on was because had a meeting scheduled during that time to talk about Eberflus's future. They simply figured it was an oversight. They didn't even think about the Zoom press conference. Another issue when it comes to Bears management, and they just kind of let him roll with it, and they weren't done deciding what he was going to do. So instead of delaying it and letting people think something might be happening, they just let him talk to the media, take those questions, and then shortly after, he informed all of the coaches that he was fired. And now Thomas Brown, who was the passing game coordinator like less than 3 freaking weeks ago, is now who became the offensive coordinator, is now the interim head coach. He is literally the meme of Michael Scott with long hair, shaking his hand with Ed Truck, just wondering Ed how Truck. The hell he got
Rest
there.
Rest in peace.
So the whole thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately is Ryan Poles. How culpable is he for all of this? I mean, I think it didn't take a lot. You know, there were very few people that said Matt Eberflus should be retained for this season. I sort of understand it simply because, you know, it becomes another coaching carousel. You want to have some consistency. There were some things that he built on at the end of the season. I still thought you're an idiot for doing it, especially when you have the ability to go get a game changer in that position. But now I'm starting to wonder, like, Ryan Poles has to, like, his seat has to be incredibly hot right now. You know, I think it benefits him a lot. I don't think he had much of a choice in which to let Matt Eberflus go because it was another national embarrassment. And while the McCaskies are okay with incompetence in a lot of different ways, I think they don't like to be embarrassed on the national scale again and again and again and again and again. I don't know how you guys are kind of feeling about that. The whole, like, where do you feel in your security for Ryan Poles, your trust for Ryan Poles? Do you think he for sure has a job at the end of this season?
Go ahead, Logan.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how quickly things changed with Ryan Poles. It went from at the beginning of this season, everybody talking about the fleecing of the Panthers and all the, you know, getting Caleb Williams through that, getting DJ Moore. He's, you know, his signings haven't really worked out this year. It's just been like a slow trickle after all of these losses, and that's led up to this. And everything feels like Poles is going to be here, and he's going to get a chance to pick quote unquote this next head coach. But the leash is like about 75% shorter, I'd say, than it was before. And the patience is a whole lot thinner. So I still have faith in Ryan Poles for some reason, just because I love the way that he presents himself. I like, again, he has put us in a position to have a very talented roster, which no doubt still has some big holes that I think that he has whiffed on with the offensive line. So I think that he does deserve some benefit of the doubt, while acknowledging for sure that he mainly sounds like he was the one who wanted to retain Flus, and which has led to this just gigantic failure of a season. So I don't know what the point comes where you let go of Poles. Again, I think I lean towards he deserves a shot at picking this head coach. I hope Kevin Warren doesn't have as much of a role as I think he is going to have in doing so. But yeah, I don't know. Interested to hear Brendan's thoughts.
Well, you're right. I think the leash is definitely shorter, and he has kind of burned some of that goodwill that he built up over the last couple of years. Some of those moves were game changers, but they also could be attributed to him working with lesser GMs. I mean, Scott Fitterer was atrocious at his job. He was terrible with the Panthers. And so he was able to take advantage of that. That doesn't necessarily make him one of the top GMs, make Poles one of the top GMs in the league. A lot of the reports are saying that Poles is safe going into 2025 and that he and Warren will work together to find the next head coach. Now, whether that's Warren leading it and Poles helping or vice versa, nobody really knows. I mean, there's conflicting reports out there. The verbiage is kind of weird. So take it for what you will. But what sounds like is happening is Poles is going to get his shot to pick his head coach with Warren, and we'll see where it goes. But anybody who's doubting Poles at this point in time definitely has reason to. I mean, the decisions to let certain guys go, like James Daniels, and then bring in Nate Davis to replace them. That's a bad look. The Larry Ogunjobi failed signing, one his first true big signing, that was a failure with the physical. The Chase Claypool trade, all of that. I mean, some of his draft picks, Valus Jones Jr. in the third round when there were plenty of other capable guys to be had. So every GM's going to have misses. Every GM's going to have hits. But the thing is, like, if you get the quarterback and you get the coach right, a lot of those issues can be masked. And right now he has not gotten the head coach right so far with Eberflus. And everybody wants to say that this was like an arranged marriage. And in some sense it was, because we know the Bears had had interviewed Eberflus and a number of coaches before they decided on Poles. And they presented the list of final candidates to Poles to work with. It was Dan Quinn. It was Jim Caldwell and Eberflus. And Poles picked Eberflus. That was his guy. But again, the process to get there, this is where it all comes down to it. Like, process to get to the final result has not been good consistently with this team. So you have to hope that they finally get it right with a president who does have more football acumen than the previous president with Ted Phillips. Agreed. At the very least, Kevin Warren has seen multiple teams. He's been a part of good teams as well in the front offices, whereas Phillips has just been an accountant for the McCaskies and lucked his way into a president's role. So I do feel more comfortable about that. But yeah, it's a very pivotal offseason for Poles in particular.
One thing, just like whether it's Poles or not, like making the decision, just everything that happened on Friday with his firing and him going out doing a press conference and then, you know, being fired 2 hours later and they had to have this meeting or whatever, the base thing is that it's just so scary to know that that group of people who was such a just PR disaster that day, that's the group, whoever it is specifically, that's going to pick our next coach. And if you can't just figure out something as simple as like firing a head coach that everybody in the fan base wanted to be fired and wanted to celebrate so bad, you even botched that, how are you going to hire the right head coach?
No, that's the thing, Logan, the firing part, just taking the human emotions out of it, Dangle, because I know like from a human level, it sucks. But the process wise, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
You send them out and you get that done. And then the hiring part, that's where it's hard. It's so much easier to tear down than to build up. And the fact that you didn't think about the fact that your coach was speaking to the media and you didn't say, oh, maybe we should delay it, even if we're not sure. Like, even that, everybody saw something potentially coming. Just save it for noon. And then also the other thing that the Bears didn't do that I wish they did, they did not have Ryan Poles or Kevin Warren speak to the media.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. A statement doesn't do it justice when you get rid of a head coach for the first time in franchise history. The GM or the president needs to come out and say, this is where we went wrong. This is why we needed to do it. I'll take your questions. And at least, you know, own up to it in front of the media and give some answers instead of saying, we thank Matt for all of his years of service and blah, 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 blah. That was a failure. And, you know, for as in front of the media as Ryan Poles has been for the first couple of years, he's been missing. He's been missing lately.
Why did it take a long meeting to make a decision that you already knew you were going to make? Like, that's the part, like, give me some excuse about like, oh, we're having a long, like closed door meeting. You know what you're going to do. It's how do you move forward from this position? And I'm just going to be that guy. You should have had that meeting the night before earlier, exactly. Something along those lines. It just, it is a total and utter failure on so many different levels. When this team was 4-2, you're thinking, oh man, this is something, you know, Waldron, like, you know, I was begrudgingly like, oh, okay, Waldron might be pretty good, you know, and just think about how the wheels have completely fallen off from this team, from this organization, right? It just, it, it, it brings up so many questions. Now, you know, guys, I think this lends to Logan. I think you were talking a little bit more about this. The where do we kind of stand on this, right? Is it the Warren versus polls? So TJ Brooks, good friend of the pod, was asking essentially about, hey, are the Bears going to go after defensive linemen or offensive linemen first? He said, I only say Warren because apparently he gets to hire the next head coach, which technically makes him the GM now. Do you see a power struggle here? Is it mm-hmm. like maybe Kevin Warren saying, ooh, Ryan Poles, come here, buddy. We got to have a talk because you messed this up so bad that I've got to reel you in? Or is it just because it is a dysfunctional organization and this is how the Bears do things? Where do you guys kind of feel about this?
Yeah, I think it's just because this is just top to bottom a dysfunctional organization. And again, what we were just talking about, the process of firing Matt Eberflus was so bad. And I think that the one thing that like tells you about the organization from the McCaskies down to like whoever the head coach is, I just have a funny feeling that the communication between those groups of people is absolutely horrendous. And again, just that I think that everything that went down on Friday speaks so much to that. And I think that the one thing that I don't want to hear about this coaching search is the hiring of like a third party, like we did back when we were looking for our last head coach, and you're hiring the crypt keeper Bill Polian to come in, who hasn't been the GM of a team since 2009, and he's going to come in and he wanted like Jim Caldwell, or was one of those like, could you find me a more boring goddamn head coach to potentially hire than Jim Caldwell in the year of whatever it was, 2021 or whatever? Like, holy shit, you needed to hire Bill Polian to tell you that? Stop. Don't rely on a third party. Let Warren and Poles either screw this up or make the right choice. But make it like a small group of individuals. Again, just hopefully those two. I would like for it to be honest, I would rather it be Ryan Poles. I don't trust Kevin Warren for some reason, just because he's botched like the one job that he's had so far with this stadium planning and everything. So I have, I hate coming on here and just being negative, but like I do have very little confidence that they could get that decision right with those two people. But again, just don't hire a third party. Just one of those two guys. Make the call. Interview guys, make the call.
I think that's what's going to happen, though. That's good news if you're like Logan and you're worried that they could hire somebody like the 33rd team to come in and search for you. Oh my God, that's atrocious. As far as I'll just to TJ's question, I will say Ryan Poles still has control over the roster. I'm not worried that like Kevin Warren's going to be the one telling him which center to sign or anything like that. Now he'll give input, whether it's warranted or not, no pun intended. But because you saw certain things like in Hard Knocks where he's going over the financials for DJ Moore's contract, and it just kind of felt like he's just there to get airtime or something. Yep. This was Poles is doing. So I don't think that's going to be the case. But in the head coach's situation, that is where they're going to work in tandem at the very least. And I will say, because everything runs in parallels with the Bears, this is just like in 2017, 2018, when Ryan Pace and Ted Phillips had their choice of head coach. And this was kind of Ryan Pace's chance to find the guy on his own. The process to find Matt Nagy, say whatever you want about him, all of that, he was one of the hottest names, and they went they flew private to go to the different areas. They interviewed a ton of guys. It was Pace and Phillips. Look back in the process to find their guy was sound. They did it the right way. And Nagy did have some good years in Chicago. So the process was much better in that sense. I do think it's going to be very similar to what we saw then. Only this time I do trust Warren more than Ted Phillips. If you have concerns about the stadium, I do too. And that is kind of a failure right now in Warren's part. He hasn't done anything else to, I guess, make me think that he doesn't know what he's... This is the weird thing. Like, he hasn't gotten the stadium situation right yet, but he also hasn't made any other mistakes to make me think he's fully incompetent, so I still have faith in him. But I understand everybody's frustration with it. I'm frustrated with it, too. So I think that's what's going to be the process for this head coaching hire.
Logan, I know you got to get out of here really, really soon. So before you do, can you just give me your, because I think you and I are on opposite pages on the Thomas Brown situation, and just your parting mm-hmm. thoughts on how you feel about Thomas Brown before you get out of here.
Yeah, I definitely don't have anything at all against Thomas Brown. I think that he's been, we're gonna find out a ton about Thomas Brown over the next month and a half. And I think that I'll feel more comfortable answering this based on that. So kind of like what my thoughts were the other day that I said to the group, and I think I've come a little bit past this, but was just like the idea of just like going with an internal guy is scary to me. And I think that I'm just kind of scarred as a White Sox fan, because like the White Sox are so bad. They're a terribly run organization, and they consistently are just going in-house, and you're picking people from you know, an organization that's bad. And I don't think that necessarily applies to Thomas Brown straightforward, because I think football and baseball are very different. But yeah, like the idea of an internal hire does scare me, but at the same time, my opinion of that kind of doesn't matter. And we're just going to find out over the next 5 weeks exactly what Thomas Brown does. And I think, thank God that we did have him and that he showed a little bit of promise in the whatever 3 weeks that it has been, because I think that his presence alone made the organization and the higher ups comfortable enough to make the decision that they've never made before to fire Matt Eberflus, because they realized at that point, it's like, okay, you can either play out the rest of the season with this lame duck head coach that obviously is an idiot and isn't the thing for Caleb Williams, and no, none of the players respect him, or you can cut your losses now and you have a guy in-house who you maybe view as a potential head coaching candidate. You don't get to just hire Ben Johnson off the street right now and try him out for 5 weeks. So if you have a guy that you think even remotely could be the head coach, you try it out. So they did that, right? And I think you give it that. And I think that my one last parting thought, and I'm like kind of like trying to say this to myself and try not to be like too hypocritical, but like with this whole hiring process, I hope that we don't get like too spooked by like what has happened in the past with the Bears. Like, I think we need to like approach, like, I liked what Brendan was saying with about the Matt Nagy hire. That was like almost like a little bit different of a hire for the Bears. And he was NFL coach of the year. And at the end of it, sure, it didn't work out and he got fired. And there were a lot of things that we hated about him. But I do agree that the process was right there. And we made a hire that was a little different from before. I don't know. I think it's just, let's not get too caught up on what has happened, while we definitely need to acknowledge that and just hire whoever they think is the best candidate at the end of it all. I've gone in 8 different directions, but I'm excited for Thomas Brown. I think there's plenty of promise there, but also just let's not get too scarred by what's happened in the past. Just assess what's going on now, who the best candidates are, make the best decision based on that and based on Caleb Williams.
Logan, you made me laugh. You got passionate. You made some excellent points as always. Really, really happy you're part of this podcast, buddy. I know you got to get going, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday night, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you guys. And we'll see everybody soon. I appreciate all the listeners too and everybody commenting along, but we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Bye, Logan.
Bye. Hope you find your dad. Buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. So I've been itching to say this, and I'm feeling you're going to be oppo about it, and I'm totally good with that. I need to get this out here. The Bears hire the wrong coaches, period. They bring in the right coaches. They interview the right coaches, right? It's a longstanding thing, right? It was, we're going back to hiring Trestman, right? To not hiring Quinn, right? Whatever it is, they bring in the right guys, but they hire the wrong coaches, which is why this guy should have been their offensive coordinator, right? Or one of the other choices, Liam Cohen, which is now at Tampa Bay, was one of the guys they brought in, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Would have been a better choice. Obviously, you know, Washington, Cliff Kingsbury would have been a better choice. Thomas Brown would have been a better choice. They didn't hire him. They thought, oh, okay, well, we hear lots of great things about this guy, but we don't really want him running an offense, because then, you know, we might be productive or something else along those lines. They hired the wrong guy, but he's almost pushed their hand because he's so good compared to what they've had, that I think the Bears have done the most Bears thing ever. they've backed their way into a halfway decent coach. Now, I could be totally wrong, and they're going to lose every game for the rest of the season, and I would be totally fine with that. But this just it has me excited, Brendan, in a way that I haven't been excited about being a Bears fan for a while. I'm going to be cheering for wins. I'm going to be cheering for them to win out. I don't care if they playoffs and it screws a draft pick, or whatever. I needed Matt Eberflus to be gone because I want to see. This is a tryout. I think Logan said that so well. You have the rest of the season to try this dude out and be like, okay, we love the direction he's headed. Maybe he's not quite there yet. Or maybe like this is the guy. The chemistry with him and Caleb is there. It's so good. This is what we're going to do. This is the route we're going to go. Or you go, dude, you suck. You're not a good head coach. Maybe you're going to be a decent offensive coordinator, but you're not that guy. And thank you so much. We're going to hire whoever it is. Whew. Sorry. I'm excited.
You're excited.
Haven't been excited because Matt Eberflus has continually taken that joy away from me. The mismanagement of the clock, the mismanagement of defense in key situations, taking offensive or defensive players off the field in key situations, not just all of it has been so frustrating. And just it's a breath of fresh air to know that a guy that has done his job pretty well, albeit for a very short sample size, is going to be running the show. It just makes me happy.
You're excited because it's new and it hasn't hurt you yet. That's the thing. I think. Yeah, we could probably go back to September 2022 and we can look up the episode where the Bears beat the 49ers at halftime. And I remember talking about us saying the Bears made halftime adjustments. Matt Nagy never did that. Matt Eberflus knows what he's doing. He's a leader of men. He's got these guys disciplined, all of that stuff. And it's not to like poo-poo on anything. Like that's all we saw at the time. And we thought the team was going in the positive direction. So I understand why you're excited about it. I'm more just nervous about everything because Thomas Brown, yes, he has injected life into this offense. The offense still hasn't been that great. Like let's be real. They didn't score points in the first half against the Lions. I'm pretty sure they only had two first downs, which came on the final two drives. That's a bad half. And if the Lions didn't screw up and turn the ball over and fail some play calls, it's 16-0 should have been like 28-0 or something like that. So the offense wouldn't even had a chance to get back into the game in the second half. And they still had issues. They still had blocking issues. They had penalty issues, a lot of things. So yes, the offense looks better, but I think we're looking at it with rose colored glasses because of how bad it looked the final few weeks under Shane Waldron. And I just worry that now we are putting a lot of pressure on Thomas Brown to not only run the offense better, which it has been, but now you have to run the whole team. You have to do it better than Matt Eberflus. And I really hope Caleb and the offensive progression that has happened, that doesn't falter. And clearly the Bears don't think that's going to happen because of what Brown has shown them. And the offense, the players have responded. They talked about how Brown is instilling an intensity and accountability in players, at least on the offensive side of the ball, and they think that can happen on the defensive side. Yeah, I just worry that like it's going to be too much, and now where you were progressing with the offensive side, that's not going to be as much, and you're still going to be a middling team. Part of me just wishes they went with somebody like Eric Washington or Richard Hightower and let Thomas Brown continue to do what he does with the offense. I just think he's put in a very tough position. Now there is a world where the offense continues its progression. The team responds under him and he does have like a 3-2, maybe 4-1 finish to the year. I highly doubt it, but it's definitely possible. But then I do think you're put in a weird situation. Like, okay, do we go with the interim guy because we saw some progress there, and do we kind of shut ourselves out from all of these outside candidates because we do want some continuity there? It's just, I don't know. It's a very weird situation. And I can understand why they didn't give Thomas the job as offensive coordinator going into the season. Like you mentioned, he was on staff and they interviewed him, but they went with Shane Waldron. Look, I don't know what the hell Waldron told them in the interview. clearly he bamboozled them, or Matt Eberflus had no idea what the hell type of questions to ask, because this guy was not suited for a rookie quarterback. A rookie quarterback needed somebody to hold his hand, to simplify things a little bit. Yeah. And Shane Waldron just kind of said, yeah, you can do whatever you want. Like, here's all the reads, just pick from them. And don't worry about cadences or how many dropbacks you need. Just wing it. Like, that's essentially what players were saying about Waldron. So, Brown was not great with the Panthers. And I think he's still like a year or two away from becoming sort of a prominent name. It's happened faster than I thought it would. So I guess I'm just saying, I understand why he didn't get the OC job at the beginning, but yeah, that's just kind of my fears.
Sure.
I'm still excited, maybe just not to the level you are at, to see how this team responds overall, because this team does have talent. It is a much more talented team that we've seen in the last few years, and they were being held back by coaches. And I do want to see how everybody responds to a new voice.
The draft process. I am certain that it came up. Caleb with structure equals ta-da. And no, not so much. And you went with Waldron, who's, as you said, just like, hey, here's a bunch of reads to, you know, kind of do what you like. What? Like, what? It's, which is why it's been so much fun to hear Thomas Brown again. My excitement is, I think, because Flus and Waldron took all joy out of my Bears fandom for a little while here. And Thomas Brown, you're right, hasn't been perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I also don't think that's it entirely on him. He's got a rookie quarterback. I also want to give credit where credit is due. The offensive game plan for Detroit in the first half was out freaking standing. Slow, methodical. Continue the ball movement. There were no big plays. It was just like, hey, next play, positive yards, positive yards, positive yards. Everyone were sitting down at Thanksgiving going, there's only 7 minutes left. Like, where did all that time go? Do you know what I think? Mm-hmm. And so, again, I'm not trying to make excuses. I don't think Thomas Brown is God's gift to it, but I just like there's part of me that goes, what if he's the best coach that they've had since Lovey? What if, big if. It would be the most Bears thing ever because they backed into it because they didn't actually pick him. He just happened to be on staff and they're like, oh, you're pretty good. Why don't you try it? Oh, you're really good. Let's keep you. You know, there's so many what ifs here with him. It's the excitement of the, let's see what happens instead of, I know Matt Eberflus is going to call some dumbass shit at the wrong time and we're going to lose in terrible fashion. Last thing I want to say, because I really want to hear your thoughts on this, Brendan, is over the last 3 weeks, right, where it's been like pain crushing, awful losses, I've been watching people with like that aren't diehard Bears fans, and they're like, oh, we're gonna win this game. I'm like, no, we're not. Just wait. just wait. It's like that perfect gif of what's his face at the gallows going, first time.
Yeah.
It's so perfect. Like, dude. So sorry, I talked a lot. I really want to hear your thoughts.
No, I mean, you're right. I'm very happy that we should not see a disastrous, close, unbelievable loss anymore, because that was the calling card of Matt Eberflus. And then hearing the head coach talk about, well, I wouldn't do anything different because the process was sound and yada, 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 and, you know, make things even worse by doubling down on it. When you say the Bears could have their best head coach since Lovie Smith, I mean, I just don't know enough about Thomas Brown to say whether that's going to happen or not. Like, we are going to learn a lot. We are going to learn a lot how he handles in-game decisions, because Matt Eberflus couldn't make a challenge to save his life. We saw it again on freaking Thanksgiving where he couldn't get that one right. I want to see how Thomas Brown handles things from the sideline, because he was calling plays from the booth. And I know a few people have jokingly said, well, can he coach from the booth and just have a designated flag thrower and all of that so he still can call plays? Because he will call plays still. I think that'd be hilarious, but it doesn't seem to happen. How is he in two-minute drills? Like, these are things I want to know. And again, because it's new, it is exciting. It's going to be hard to get worse. And I do wonder from the defensive side, now that Eric Washington is going to be calling plays, presumably, what does that look like? Is he going to call more blitzes? Is he going to, you know, show a little more disguises and different coverages and things like that? Like, what are we going to see from him? So just the newness, I do feel your excitement there. I really do worry that, you know, this is going to be too much and Caleb's play is going to suffer a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, the kid's resilient. He's lasted through a lot. He's seen two prominent coaches get fired. And that's something also, you know, we should talk about too. I tweeted this earlier a couple days ago. I do hope that somebody sits Caleb down and just kind of talks through this, because look, he probably sees it like everybody. These two guys weren't competent. They weren't helping him. His teammates were probably saying the same thing. But at the end of the day, he is, right or wrong, he's partially responsible for two guys losing their jobs as a rookie. And that can be tough. Like, that can be really tough to swallow. And he talked about when Shane Waldron was fired. He's like, look, that guy's a family. And he's fired because of things that I didn't do well enough, even though he was not putting the right decision. That wears on a guy. So to have it now happen twice, I really do hope that somebody kind of talks to him and says, like, look, you're going to be okay. It's okay to feel sorry about this, but you got to keep moving forward. I just think it's a tough situation to be put in. But you're right. It would be Bears, very Bearsy, if they just kind of lucked into it and had the guy the entire time who was buried on the coaching depth chart and suddenly shows that he's capable. But as we talked about earlier with Cam, I'm very encouraged about all of the names that are being talked about as possible options, and more are going to come out. It's really the ones you don't hear about that I think are going to be very interesting, because even today you've heard Marcus Freeman, Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, like all of these guys coming out of the woodwork to sort of throw their proverbial hat into the ring. It's going to be a really interesting few weeks where the interest is going to show, and the Bears really can't do anything until January. So it's kind of a wait and see game.
Well, now they can for sure get ahead of things. The only thing I want to say, I think Jalen Johnson might be the guy that Caleb needs to put his arm around his shoulder and be like, bro, I'm yelling at this guy because we know it's not you. And I think his teammates know that it wasn't him, because, you know, in this terrible he's done almost every single game, he's put them in the position to win the game almost in every single situation. Clearly that in the Lions game, that wasn't the case, but with a timeout properly called, a good play to get 10 yards or something like that, they kick a field goal, you make it overtime, you never know what happens. I mean, I am feeling more and more confident every single time I watch Caleb throw the football that he is the real deal, and that this organization hasn't broken him yet. Makes my heart happy. And to know that some of those guys that you just talked about are available, I think is really exciting. Is there a name? Is it here? Let's do it, because I've got it ready to roll. Wait for it. Sorry. True or false, next season is Ben Johnson or bust for you, Brendan? And for all of you in the comment section, please, please chime in on this one. I want to read your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, right now, this is tough, because I do want to kind of dive into other guys. And I think the interview process is going to be very interesting. Ben Johnson is clearly at the top of the list, and I think there's a gap from everybody else. So I'll say false, just because I'm an open-minded individual, and I think there is more to a head coach than just, you know, being a good play caller, because that was Mark Trestman for a bit. Mark Trestman could call plays well, but he was a dolt when it came to everything else. Now, I'm not saying Ben Johnson is like that. I've seen his press conferences. I think he's fine. Like, I think he can, you know, be that quote-unquote leader of men. Can you still hear me?
Loud and clear. You sound great.
Oh, buddy. Good. Okay, God. I'm so jaded about my internet.
Jesus I'm just Christ. Listening intently into what you have to say. Brendan, you know your Bears. Oh, you know your Bears, buddy. So I'm literally listening to what you have to say.
I appreciate that. Anyway, so I've seen what Ben Johnson can do when it comes to his press conferences, how he communicates with the team, at least as much as I can. So I don't think that's going to happen with him. I think he can be a good head coach. However, you just can't tie yourself to one candidate. I think everybody, you know, there are pluses and minuses with every single person. You just want that guy who can be both an innovative offensive mind, in my opinion, who also can be that quote unquote leader of men. And I think that's such a stupid, Shane Norling, our guy that we had on earlier last summer, he said it best. He's like, that's just a stupid buzzword. Like, you get guys who are good coaches and then they create the culture and they become the leader of men. That's basically how it is. So I will say false in terms of Ben Johnson or bust, but Ben Johnson is the one guy I want to zero in on while still keeping an eye on what's happening elsewhere. I mean, look, real quickly, the last thing I'll say, Washington Commanders, everybody thought that was going to be Ben Johnson or bust. He pulls out of the interview and they go with Dan Quinn and everybody's like, oh, great. Like, that's we got the retread coach. That's what everybody wants, huh? They're doing pretty good. So just open-minded. You got to find the right guy for this team and who is going to build the right staff for Caleb Williams.
Man, Brendan, some really, really, really great points there to think about. You know, he is a big personality. And I think it was Matt Vanderzanden who's in the chat who said, the Bears hire milquetoast. They like these high character, like, right, Matt Eberflus style guys. And it just, you know, Matt Nagy, high character, good guy, good human. Mark Trestman seemed like a really good human being. Again, like, just go down a list. John Fox, right? Seem like good guys. That you need someone with a little fire. And apparently all the things I've heard about what Ben Johnson says in the sidelines is that dude is absolutely a big personality. And so I don't know, man. I think that TJ Brooks, I love your comment. I think it'll be a bust. I don't think Chicago lands him. I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem their style. But again, the Bears have never, ever fired a head coach or an offensive coordinator in midseason, let alone both. And so maybe this is a new Bears with a new decision. He definitely would excite me just with all he's done. But I do, and maybe this is irrational, but I do have a little bit of fear. That team is stacked. They have one of the best offensive lines in all of football. They have one phenomenal wide receiver, one halfway decent one, two very good running backs, a good tight end. You know, a lot of people could be good offensive coordinators given that situation. You know, I want to see someone that has done it with less because the Bears tend to give their head coaches a little bit less.
But to that point, wouldn't you think that Ben Johnson would come here, come to Chicago? He's seen them now multiple times a year. He knows what they're working with. And he can tell Ryan Poles, these guys up front, they ain't going to cut it. We need to rebuild the trenches, and we need to do that because this worked in Detroit. And guess what? Caleb Williams is, I don't want to say 10 times the quarterback that Jared Goff is, or at least will be, I should say, not is. He's not now, but Caleb Williams has the potential to be much, much better than when Jared Goff is with the Lions. And you would think that Ben Johnson would look at this situation and say, we need to fill those trenches up because that's where the success begins. And Ryan Poles, being that former offensive lineman, should agree. Now, we know that hasn't always been the case because he's misspent when it comes to getting guys like Nate Davis and not finding a permanent center or anything like that. But I would think, if anything, Ben Johnson would come here and just look at that and feel like, I need to do that better.
This is a very attractive position. There's no two ways about it. The national media people are talking about it, but it doesn't take. You watch that kid play. You can already tell it's special. The fact is, maybe you bring Keenan Allen back, but if you don't, you still have DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift's having a hell of a year. Do you know what I mean? Like, walking into that as an offensive minded coach. But more than anything, you know, you have a quarterback that has special ability. Like, it's not like, well, Justin Fields can run really well and I might be able to be the guy that can, you know, tame that Bronco, so to speak, right? Or whatever, that wild horse. This is so different. This kid is special. He's a phenomenal quarterback. Man, with my system, he could be even better. We could get this done here.
Yeah. So I hesitate to say this because I want to just put everything aside from the quarterback, but I continue to see parallels between the 2017 Bears and 2018 Bears, because if you look at that 2017 team, that team was building talent on it, and they overhauled a lot of it going into 2018, but still, like, they got the offensive head coach. They had a decent line being built. They had a decent defensive line being built. They had young guys in the secondary, Kyle Fuller, Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen was a rookie in 2017. Cody Whitehair was an up-and-coming offensive lineman. Charles Leno was – I could go on and on.
Right, right.
And then you get Matt Nagy, and they ascend to a much better level. Now, the issue is, of course, that's why I put the quarterback aside, because everybody thought that Mitch Trubisky was going to be that next great quarterback potentially, or at least they were hoping he would be a good quarterback. Obviously, that didn't happen. Caleb has shown much, much more. So back then – the Bears were a very attractive job, and Nagy took that job over the Colts. Like, he was a finalist for that job, and he took it over them. And there were a ton of Colts fans who were very, very upset. They had to pivot. I could definitely see that happening again. So the people who say that Ben Johnson's not going to come to Chicago, he wants X, Y, and Z, I just think that is the old Bears. Like you said, they are doing things a little bit differently. And while I have panned at the PR issue when it comes to press conferences and Kevin Warren's involvement and all that, don't underestimate Kevin Warren's ability to sweet talk people. Like, he does say the right things, and he plays the politician role well. I give him a lot of credit for that. Agreed. So I think he can bridge that gap where Ted Phillips failed, and to bring in the guy who does have questions about the ownership and, you know, how things were done in the past. Kevin Warren does a lot of things that we talked about. He's not succeeding so far. I don't want to say he's failed, but he's not succeeding with the stadium right now. But I think he can, you know, bridge that gap when it comes to some of these higher end candidates who may be a little bit iffy about coming to the Chicago. And last thing I'll say about that is, a couple of weeks ago, Adam Schefter put out that he was kind of hinting that Ben Johnson is going to be selective where he goes, and Chicago may not be that place because of the dysfunction that's been shown there. He came out today and said he pointed at, like, Ben Johnson having interest there, and he was very, like, animated about it, I would say. Mm. And I don't think he did that on accident. So clearly, like we said earlier, people want to get their names out there for this job.
I mean, I think, Brendan, we could go through each of the candidates, but for me, it's way too early. It's way too early to do that. So how about this? Because I know you're itching to do it just a little bit. You said that there's a couple maybe under the radar candidates, but why don't you give me like two or three other people that are not Ben Johnson that you're saying, hey, watch this guy, think about this, you know, as this process starts to upcoming and we start thinking about all that sort of stuff. Give us those. And then I got a couple of the questions related to the rest of this season.
All right. Well, I mean, you mentioned one before, Liam Cohen with the Bucks. I think that he's not only done a really good job with Baker Mayfield, it's somebody Baker wanted from his time with the LA Rams. But one of the, I guess, selling points for when he was interviewing for the Bears OC job was that he had worked with college coaches before. He had worked with Will Levis, and Will Levis succeeded when he was with Kentucky. So he knows how to work with young quarterbacks. And so I feel like from that standpoint alone, that makes him a good fit. But also, look at how the Bucks managed their – I don't know. Did you see the end of the Panthers-Bucks game?
I didn't. I missed it.
Okay. So Bryce Young scores the game go-ahead touchdown. They get the two-point conversion. Or maybe they missed. I don't know. But anyway, it was a three-point game with 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Baker Mayfield drives him downfield. And you know what they did? Ryan, you know what they did? They called two more plays with under 10 seconds in a timeout to get closer for a field goal. They didn't settle for that 50-yard or whatever for Chase McLaughlin. They got as close as they humanly possibly could. And I know Liam Cohen played a big role in that, and they ended up going to overtime, and they won the game. So that alone, that's a huge issue. That's a huge thing that we just obviously haven't seen previous.
All you got to do is put on the Bears tape and go, hey, don't do this. Don't do this. And you might be a good head coach at some point.
How many times have we heard that this year? Literally multiple teams have said, yeah, we're going to show the Bears on what not to do.
I still am trying to get over the fact that Minnesota Vikings were like, oh, we saw what the Packers did and they didn't change it. You're like, they didn't change what they like the one that lost them the game. You didn't change it. Oh, okay. Got a week to figure that out. Sorry. All right. So Liam Cohen. Yes.
Liam Cohen. The other one that I'm very intrigued by, that I have been intrigued by for quite a long time, is Joe Brady. He is the Bills offensive coordinator, who are currently up 21-3 on the 49ers. So the thing I like about Joe Brady is he is a very young guy, but he's seen a lot in a short amount of time. He was played a big role, of course, in Joe Burrow's historic season with LSU. He goes to Carolina. He worked with DJ Moore. He actually got a good year out of Teddy Bridgewater, Robbie Anderson, and that Panthers offense under Matt Rhule in 2020. I think that was 2021 or 2020. No, it was 2020. And Bridgewater had like 3,500 yards. Robbie Anderson chosen, whatever, and DJ Moore each had 1,000 yards. So he's seen some good. He was then fired as part of that staff, so he's seen some bad. He came up with the Bills again as a quarterback's coach and then became the OC when Ken Dorsey was fired. So, and I think he's still only like in his mid to late 30s. So I like the amount of football that he's seen. I like the organizations he's been in. He's been in good and bad organizations. Kind of reminds me, at least from the situation type, like Kyle Shanahan, who was with the Browns for a couple of seasons. He was at the end of the Redskins Commanders that 2013 year when his dad kind of flamed out a little bit, but then he went to the Falcons as the OC and turned Matt Ryan into a, an offensive or MVP, I guess. So I like guys who have seen both ends of the spectrum where it's like, they've been in bad situations and they've been in really good situations. So I want to see what Joe Brady does. And yeah, there's a ton of other guys like Drew Petzing with the Cardinals. He's getting, play a little bit. We talked about Aaron Glenn with the Lions. Lions have two very, very good coordinators out there. I don't buy the Marcus Freeman hype that's been coming out today. I think that's
they lost to NIU, my wonderful alma mater. Like, stop it.
But they haven't lost since, and they're going to the playoff, baby. Thank you. And he said, he did say, he's like, we needed to get our, he didn't say it like this, but he essentially said, we needed to get our ass kicked to realize who we are, and they have not lost since then. So thank you.
Yeah. NIU, I'd be happy to do it for you guys. Let's just play a fun game, Brendan, a very fun game. So 49ers, let's just pretend they lose badly tonight, which is the death of my fantasy football team too. Sorry. And then let's say the Bears rally behind this new interim head coach and he beats up on the 49ers. Bears get a moral victory. And now the 49ers say, we're going to let Kyle Shanahan go. Does that dude then bump to the top of your list immediately?
100%. 100%. 100 freaking percent. I mean, look, no coach is perfect. Every coach needs that secret sauce. I mean, shit, Andy Reid was known as – Andy Reid was the Kyle Shanahan before Kyle Shanahan.
Eagles, baby. Yeah.
Yes, even with the Chiefs, with Alex Smith, it just wasn't good enough. They were good, but there was a ceiling there. And in comes Patrick Mahomes, and now they are unstoppable. Three Super Bowl titles later, he is now considered one of the best head coaches of all time simply because of that. Kyle Shanahan is a good head coach. And I think I want to shout out, I think it's Scott Lewis from the 79th and Hallis podcast. Love those guys.
Love those guys.
He equated it to Andy Reid leaving the Chiefs, or I'm sorry, Andy Reid leaving the Eagles back in like 2012, where it was just time and they had their moment, they had their success, but it was like, you know what, you may be seeing the writing on the wall, and this core group, maybe that is their ceiling, because he's been there for 7-8 years now. So Shanahan is one of the I still say one of the best coaches in the league. And yeah, if he's coming here, like, you definitely want that. Even though he's a retread, he could really, really do something special, I think, with Caleb Williams in this offense. Think about the quarterbacks that he's tried to work with and he's made successful. Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy. I mean, shoot, even Trey Lance had a moment and he can't even get on the field with the Cowboys now. So he would absolutely be the top of the top, and I would not hesitate to throw anything he wants at him.
Man, Bears fans can dream to go from Matt Nagy and Matt Eberflus to Shanahan. Like, oh my, let's just get shivers just thinking about it. I know Patrick Sheldon, who hasn't been on the pod. He's got a lot going on. Family, very busy with other stuff. I know he has just, he's got his mind that Shanahan, it has to be him or bust. I don't know. I just hope they do something different and they don't bring in the right guy again and then offer it to the wrong guy again. But right now I'm just thinking about this, the next couple of weeks. I'm excited to see Eric Washington as a defensive coordinator, not run a prevent defense when you need your solid bend but don't break defense to come in there, to watch maybe some of our defensive backs get a little bit more confidence back, perhaps, and just in playing for a player's head coach like Thomas Brown, and just to see maybe what this dude does in throwing of a challenge flag or running a clock. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's too much and maybe he's going to flounder, but the possibility of it makes me happy. Win loss for the rest of the way. Without knowing a thing about this guy, do you see any wins remaining on the Bears' schedule? Do you think that there could be more wins than losses? Or, you know, is it maybe he gets the one because you usually see a bump with interim coaches and then that's it? What are you kind of thinking right now, buddy, realistically?
Realistically. So they go to San Fran next week. We'll see. That's more winnable than it was. I mean, I can't watch the game right now because we're obviously talking. I'm going to watch it after. They're losing 21-3. CMC's hurt again, so that's something. We'll see. I don't think Brock Purdy's doing much. I know he's got the big elbow thing on with his injury. They're still banged up. I think there's a chance, so that could be a win. I mean, let's see. You got the Vikings and then the Lions. Lions could be. I mean, look, I've said it for a long time. Jared Goff in cold weather sucks, and they were very close to winning this last game. I'm not saying that that's going to be a definite loss. I think Seahawks, short week coming here, that could be something where, you know, on Thursday Night Football where they could win. So, yeah, I think it could be. I really realistically think it could be 2-3 wins. Anything 4-1, I'm not predicting at all. But yeah, we just got to see. I really have very little basis for what's going to happen. But like you said, that part is exciting because we don't know. You can't know if something's shit if you don't know it's shit yet. So like, hey, why not be optimistic about it?
and it could be fun. Maybe, possibly. We don't know. All I know is that I don't have to see Matt Eberflus's stupid face when they lose another heartbreaking loss going, what did I do? Like, what happened? Or right, throwing a challenge flag because it was, you talked about it in one of your amazing posts that you've had over the last like 2 weeks. Cause it was a big play, right?
Because he said it was an explosive. So we need to throw a flag because it doesn't matter. 15 yards doesn't matter, but 69 yards. Nice. That matters when it comes to throwing a challenge flag. Like that, that was one of the worst explanations I have ever heard coming from a head coach. And that was not hyperbole. Like I was sitting there dumbfounded listening to that press conference live saying, did he just say he threw the challenge flag because it was a big play? And they thought, well, why the freak not? Because maybe it'll come back. Maybe something stupid happened because God forbid our defense let up a big goddamn play. Oh my God. I'm so happy that's over.
And Dan Quinn is 8-5 with the Commanders right now. I just,
Jim Harbaugh won on the road. Yeah. By the way, I had a trivia question I was going to try to bring in. Cause I have some takeaways coming up in Bears Wire. I'm kind of recapping the Eberflus era and going over my takeaways of it. Doing some research, I read up on the 2022 week 1 game against the 49ers. obviously we talked about that before. They come from behind.
The flood game.
There was a quote in there. Yeah, the flood game. Yeah, exactly. There was a quote in there from a prominent player talking about how they won the game because of the hits principle. And essentially, like, playing hard and being disciplined and the hits principle, really, that was the reason they won. Guess who said that?
Justin Fields?
No, come on. I'll give you one more guess.
We talked about him tonight.
Jalen Johnson, the guy who pretty much put Eberflus's head on a spike. He was the one in week one of 2022 saying, yeah, this hits principle thing. Like that.
But it wasn't Matt Nagy. Like, you're right. Do you know? It's like,
yes.
Okay.
I know. But that's the thing. That's the funny thing of Jalen Johnson got benched by Eberflus that first training camp or mini camp. Like, he was running with the twos for whatever reason. He gets back in the starting lineup. He buys in. And yet a lot of these defensive guys bought in. But after a while, when you just keep saying the same old shit and you keep committing the same mistakes, eventually it all runs dry, and it certainly did.
Brendan, this has been a fun episode packed with people that hung out with us for a short bit of time. Quickly, anything that we missed? Anything at all that you really want to get to that we didn't talk about?
I mean, we didn't really talk about the game much. I don't know if there's much to be said. Caleb Williams is pretty much breaking every single Bears rookie record, and he's on pace actually to become the first Bears quarterback ever to throw for 3,000 yards or more, at least 20 touchdowns, and less than 10 interceptions. No Bears quarterback has ever done that. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I know it's not like the, 4,000 yards a lot of people thought. He is on pace, I think, for like 3,500 yards, but yeah, he's passing the numbers test and he's passing the eye test as of late. He also has broken the rookie record for consecutive passes without an interception. Shout out to Jeff Berkus of Windy City Gridiron, by the way, for being the first to pull that stat. Great work by him. But yeah, like it's crazy to see that the Bears are floundering and yet the quarterback is succeeding with his arm, not just his legs like Justin Fields.
There's something special about him. Every week he makes a couple plays that you just go, wow. And you're right. It's with his arms instead of his legs. And that's been super fun. Brendan, this has been a phenomenal episode. And buddy, I miss you. And it's been a while since we've done this. So I think it's time to get to shout outs for anybody that might be listening to the podcast. So Brendan, who are getting your shout outs this week?
All right. So once again, I'll just say Jeff Berkus of Windy City Gridiron. And I'll throw in Lester Wiltfong Jr. as well. A competing site from Bears Wire, but these guys do it right. And I think they share my disdain for all of the aggregators and people that just steal other people's content. They produce good organic materials, whether it's their podcasts or their written work. I'm truly a fan of theirs and I'm lucky to call them friends. So I just want to shout both of them out for all the incredible work they do. As well as my entire Bears Wire staff, starting with Alyssa, as well as Mike, Lucas, Vinny, and Preston, everybody going to work over, the Thanksgiving holiday. It's tough. I hate when the Bears play on Thanksgiving or any major holidays. It just makes it so much harder when it comes to family. And, I literally had to like shush them as I'm like writing something. And, I had to like stop an article because my mom's like, okay, we got to eat now. And I'm like, damn it, I'm not done yet. Like, this is an issue. But, and then of course, with the Eberflus firing, everybody went into high gear with that. So just shout out to the entire Bears Wire staff. I think, we've had a ton of traffic the past few days and just really appreciative of everybody's work for that. So, shout out to those people.
So a call back to the beginning of the episode, I got an invite to the Roar of the Lions guys. They didn't get an invite back because it's the middle of the night for them and we want them to be sleeping. They know more about Bears football than I think than a lot of Bears fans do. They're really, really, really good at what they do. And it was just fun. We talked about it before. We get a lot of things wrong. We're at the heart of this. We're Bears fans. But it was it was cool to almost all the things that I talked about during that thing, you know, to the point that the Lions were going to have one or two turnovers. And I saw look on their face and some of the comment section, people like, this guy has no idea what he's talking about. That happened. That it was going to be a close game into the fourth quarter. That happened. The Bears were going to fire Matt Eberflus and hire Thomas Brown. That happened. And so it was really cool to get some things right. And so, yes, I'm patting myself on the back a little bit, but it doesn't happen very often, right? That's a lot of the stuff that you say and one episode comes to fruition. So I was pretty excited about that. So huge thank you to all you guys at the Roar of the Lions. So Brendan, I'm going to bring you back for this one. It's just, there's a lot of places you can get Bears content. I know some of you are reading Brendan's stuff. If you're not reading his stuff on Bears Wire, it's so good. It's so well written. It's so well done. So well researched. Brendan he's got his hands everywhere. Like, he's just doing amazing things with all the things that are going out there with Bears. And I just know that anytime I need to, because I'm being dad or doing whatever else it is, I need to, Brendan, hey, catch me up on this. He'll send me a quick, succinct thing because he knows it. He is so freaking good at what he does. It was wonderful to see Cam Ellis back in the show. Logan Bradley's been back in the show. It would be cool to get Patrick Sheldon and Jack Wright and all of us together at one point again, maybe before the end of the season. Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. So that's Brennan Chagrou. That's Jack Wright, Logan Bradley, Cam Ellis. I'm Ryan Dangle. Folks, seriously, thank you so very much. And as always, Bear Down, Chicago.